And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us. It's the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn. Wet, gloomy, cold Wednesday. It is pretty nasty out there today. If you've been outside, I don't have to tell you. If you've been fortunate enough to stay inside during the day today, you are most fortunate. Because temperatures have now dropped into the upper 40s. I don't think we're going to recover. No. We were in the mid-50s for a while early this morning. The rains did not start in our area until about 6:30 this morning. It was dry throughout the overnight, and the rains came. And the temperature actually got up to 56 degrees here in the city of Butler before the rains came, and then it started to drop. Now we're down in the upper 40s. This is just so typical of autumn weather, especially as we move into the mid-autumn weather. And we're halfway through October, so mid-autumn. You get these wet, chilly, raw days. And we got two of them in a row. We got another one coming up tomorrow, very similar to this. So we grit our teeth, try to smile. But boy, if you have to be outside, even if you're just, you know, running a quick errand or running to the car, if it's in the driveway or in the street, you just get drenched today. We've had several periods of brief, heavy downpours, torrential rains. So be careful of that. And if you're driving, of course, you always have to worry about hydroplaning because there's a lot of standing water and puddles on roadways. So be careful. And another couple of hours, the afternoon school buses will be out on the road. Kids will be coming home from school. Watch out for them as well. We're going to be talking about a number of things on the program today. Several guests will be joining us coming up in a few minutes. We're going to be talking about coping skills and specifically with coping about something. You may have seen some commercials for this on TV. Overactive bladder. It's a medical condition. Appears to be more common in women than men. We'll talk with a woman who's been coping with that and also with a coping expert, a licensed psychotherapist, Stacy Kaiser. So that will be coming up. We're also going to get some tips on how to retire smart, how to plan for a tax-free retirement. We'll be talking with guest Mark Grabaldi about that. And then still later on the program today, Ralph Christie Jr. will join us. There is news of some music programs coming up at St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran Church here in Butler. And we'll get the details on that. So quite a few things to talk about on the program today. And we're entering that time of the year when things start to get a little spooky, right? We're about 2 weeks away from Halloween. I think it's 2 weeks from tomorrow, I think, is Halloween. This weekend, this Saturday, the annual Spooky Stories event at the Old Stone House just south of Slippery Rock. They've been doing this for several years now. Oh, many, many years. That's kind of a fun thing. This year it takes place at 6:30 and again at 8 o'clock this Saturday at the Old Stone House. At each of those sessions, retired educator and master storyteller Joanne Dadisman will share entertaining and spooky tales for all ages to enjoy. Dadisman has been storytelling for nearly half a century, and she'll share a variety of mysterious tales taken from Appalachian folklore. Admission to the event at the Stone House this Saturday evening is $7 per person. Kids 5 and under are admitted for free. So that's fun. And also, about time, I believe, for historian and storyteller Bill May to begin his ghost tours in downtown Butler, right? I think the first weekend is this coming weekend for those, yeah. So get details on that, too, from Bill May. Great storyteller. His programs on local history are always well attended and always not only informative, but a great deal of fun, too. Okay, we're going to take a quick break here, and then we'll be back to talk about coping skills with Stacy Kaiser here on the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn on WISR. We'll be right back. In today's fast-paced world, our lives get a whole lot easier when we trust experts. We trust people who know what they're doing. And when it comes to shipping, I trust Goin Postal Butler. They're right off Newcastle Road on Shockey Lane, right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants. It's easy, too. I just cruise on back, go say hello to the friendly folks inside, and they package my items for shipping. And that saves me a whole lot of time. From trying to wrap my item, trying to find the right size box or the bubble wrap or the mailing labels. With Goin Postal Butler, I know they provide quality service. They've got great prices. Most importantly, they are trustworthy. So I know that my package will go where I need it to go. That's Goin Postal Butler, 140 Shockey Lane in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex. Your friendly neighborhood shipping store, Goin Postal Butler. Listeners, I'm Dave Malarkey, and for the next few minutes here on the It's Your Turn program on WISR, we're going to talk about a couple of things, coping behavior and also a medical condition called overactive bladder. Coping is a good thing, right? How do you cope with stuff? Do you know that everybody has a different coping personality? Here to talk about coping behaviors, psychotherapist Stacy Kaiser. And also Elaine, who copes with a medical condition called overactive bladder, OAB. First of all, Stacy. By the way, Stacy's been on all the major networks, broadcast and cable. She's been on the Today Show and Good Morning America and so on. Stacy Kaiser, what are the ways, the different ways that people cope with things?
Well, here's the reality of the situation. Anyone who has challenges ends up in a situation where they need to cope. So for some of us, the holidays are coming, and that's a little stressful, and we need to cope with that. For others, there's financial issues, family issues, parenting issues, medical conditions. All of those types of situations can be struggles for us, but if we begin to ask ourselves how it is we go about coping, and we begin to learn better skills, then we can learn to create the life that we want to live and not be impacted by our challenges.
So how do people cope? Some people avoid it. Some people deny it. Some people go head on into it. What's the best thing to do, Stacy?
Well, when it comes to coping, I always say that there are two different kinds of coping, unproductive coping and productive coping. Unproductive coaching is sort of that coping is that knee-jerk coping. It's the stuff that we don't really think about, so we end up putting our head in the sand, or we might be obsessively thinking and not realizing how bad it is for us. We are distancing from people socially. We're not reaching out to professionals who might be able to help us. A productive coping, that's a more deliberate kind of coping, and that's what we all want to try and do, and that is under the umbrella of really taking good care of yourself. It's about getting to know and educating yourself on what's going on with you, leaning on your support system so that you have a team behind you, and reaching out to professionals and experts who can help you deal with whatever it is that you're going through.
Coping Confessions is a new campaign highlighting behaviors designed to shine a light on when coping goes too far and how to take action to prevent coping from taking over our lives. Coping Confessions features videos of women coping with a medical condition called OAB, overactive bladder. And Elaine visits with us to talk a little bit about that. Elaine, can you share with our listeners how coping has played a role in your life?
I'd be happy to, Dave. About 20 years ago, I was diagnosed with overactive bladder. And for those that aren't familiar with it, it's the urgency to have to use the restroom all the time. There were times when I would have accidents trying to get to the restroom. I wouldn't make it. Sometimes there could be urine leakage. It was very embarrassing and very overwhelming. And it's one of those things where you kind of feel all alone in the world when you have something like this. I really stopped socializing. I wasn't living my usual lifestyle because I was always trying to plan where the next bathroom was going to be. For example, my daughter was getting married. We actually had to work in for the reception. Was the bathroom going to be close enough to where I was sitting? When she actually said her vows, I was thinking about, am I going to make it in time to go to the bathroom, like rather than focusing on her taking her vows? And I really didn't want to live like this. This was just like a terrible way to be. I just really felt like I was missing out on everything. So I decided to be more proactive. I went to my doctor, and we came up with a plan for me to manage this situation. And I stopped coping and wanted to start living. It really came to the forefront for me, though, is when I took a job in a call center and realized that our bathroom breaks were going to be timed. And I thought, oh, my gosh, how am I going to deal with this job when, you know, I have to go to the bathroom so frequently? And I was very worried about it, and I wanted to keep the job. So I gathered up my courage to talk to my supervisor, who happened to be a man, and it was kind of embarrassing for me to go to him with this. And I told him I'm going to need some help if I'm going to continue to work here and keep this job. So after I came forward, to my amazement, a lot of my colleagues had the same problem, and they started coming forward as well. And that was a turning point for me because I thought, now I'm helping other people, and it turned a negative into a positive. And I started really feeling good about myself again, and I said, now I can live a proactive life. Now I'm really able to manage things and go travel and do all the things I've done before.
Let me check in with Stacy Kaiser again. Stacy, this is actually more overactive bladder. It's more common than many people might think here in America, is it not?
That is very true, and I even think that a lot of people don't even know that they have overactive bladder, which is part of why I'm glad that we're having this conversation. It's actually quite common in women, particularly as they get older, and it's embarrassing. So a lot of times, even if people do have it, they have a tendency not to talk about it. And that's part of why I'm really glad that I'm here on behalf of Astellas doing this Coping Confessions campaign so that we can bring to light the importance of having the conversation both about coping and overactive bladder. And I would encourage people to go to copingconfessions.com where they can take an assessment there to see how they cope with situations. They can see videos with Elaine and other people sharing their story of OAB or overactive bladder, and they can get more tips from me on how to cope with situations.
Mm-hmm. I've seen a few TV commercials about this in recent months. It seems to be coming out in the open more. People are hopefully not as embarrassed to talk about it. Elaine, is this more common in women than men? It seems that all the pictures I see are women who are battling overactive bladder. Do you know anything about that?
Well, Dave, I think that's something probably maybe the physicians would know more than I do. I know in my situation it seemed to be very common in women as far as my colleagues at work. I know speaking with the urologist, I know that a lot of women who have had babies, I think, tend to actually get this as they get older as well. But I do believe there are men that have it, too.
Mm-hmm. So if you're getting a little older, maybe post-40, this could be a problem. Don't be embarrassed. Talk to your doctor about it, and you can find out some coping strategies. Stacy, can you give us that web address again in case people missed it so they know where they can get some more resources, get some more info on what we're talking about here?
Absolutely. It is copingconfessions.com.
And this comes courtesy of Astellas. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
You are.
Astellas Pharma. Hey, ladies, thanks a lot. Appreciate talking about this. It's something that needs to be talked about. Stacy, Elaine, thanks very much.
Thank you, Dave.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This month, the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler is celebrating an anniversary. October of 2019 marks the 16th anniversary of the move of their thrift store to the Greater Butler Mart, Route 8 South, and it's been a great success there. Just a reminder that all of the revenue, every penny of the revenue that's generated through the operation of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store stays here in Butler County to help support the food bank, the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank, and their client aid program. And in the 16 years since the thrift store has been at the Greater Butler Mart, they have distributed well over $1 million for client aid. This helps needy families with, maybe a gas bill at the end of the month or a medical bill and much, much more. And their food bank is now serving more than 1,600 people every month. You can help. You can donate items to the thrift store, and that'll help them generate funds for the food bank and the client aid program. Or you can volunteer. They got a lot of volunteers that help out the needy as well. The Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler, we stand at tallest when we stoop to help others.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location downtown Butler to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
Coming up on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR, I'm Dave Malarkey. We're going to be talking with Mark Grimaldi, who visits with us by telephone. Mark Grimaldi is a certified fund specialist, chief economist, and money manager for No-Load Sector Rotation Fund. And for the purposes of our discussion, he's also an author of Retire Smart, How to Plan for a Tax-Free Retirement. Mark, you talk in your book about a retirement crisis that we're headed for here in the United States. So why do you believe that? What's going on? Why a retirement crisis?
Well, you know what, Dave? It may be worse than I even say in the book. We may not be heading to one. We may be in one. As 10,000 baby boomers retire every day, they just haven't planned properly for their retirement. You know, that's why you and I go to all these Walmart, Kmart, McDonald's, and we see all these seniors still working. The reason they're still working is because, you know, it's not their fault, Dave. They were told a lie many, many years ago by, I don't want to say the government, but they were told that these 401ks and pension plans would be the fix-all, end-all. And they were never meant to be, and obviously they're not. And the reason they're not is because typically these pension plans will generate more in taxes for the U.S. government, for Uncle Sam, than the person would ever save getting that small little tax deduction when they put their money in. And that's what the book explains. The book explains, you know, the analogy I like to use, Dave, is, you know, Evel Knievel can tell you how to start the motorcycle, run the motorcycle, jump over the ramp, but it's the landing that puts them in the hospital. And right now we have 10,000 baby boomers landing their motorcycle every day, and they're realizing, this isn't working. I can't make it. I need to get a job. And what went wrong? And they don't know what went wrong. So we need to help people figure out what went wrong and figure out a better way to do it, because there are simple things the everyday person can do to reduce that drag. And the biggest expense most of us have in retirement is taxes. So how do we reduce that drag? How do we level the playing field? How do we get in a situation like Warren Buffett, where he's in a lower tax bracket than the secretary? And that's what the book explains.
We don't have to go back too far, a couple of generations, to where it was pretty much a fixed pension plan for many middle-class and lower-income people. Fewer and fewer companies are offering that, and it's becoming more and more a 401k strategy for retirement. You say in your book, Mark Grimaldi, that that is not a good option for retirement savings. Why not?
It's not a good option for several reasons, and this call is very timely because just yesterday GE announced that they're suspending their traditional pension plan for 20,000 employees. It's not a good idea for these two main reasons. A traditional old pension plan allowed the employee to understand that at retirement they're going to get X number of dollars per month that they can no longer outlive. You know, you retire, you check a few boxes, the company sends you a check every month for as long as you're alive. So it reduces the amount of expenses that you have, meaning you know your money's going to last for as long as you're alive. And there's a comfort to that. But the bigger problem, Dave, is that now with the invention of the 401ks, which, as you know, are participant-driven, now 100 million Americans are their own pension managers. They're responsible for making their own pension choices. Do you realize right now in this country, it's illegal for a stockbroker to give you advice on your 401k? Can't do it. Illegal. So right now we have 100 million 401k participants who have a 401k. They get a choice of 10 or 15 funds. If they call the provider gives them a pie chart and says good luck. Because they can't give them advice. They can't sit down with Dave Malarkey and say, Dave, based on everything I know about you, this is how you should invest your 401k. Can't do it. So we have it basically eliminated that annuity or that monthly check that people can count on that they cannot live, and it converted 100 million of us to money managers. And as you and I both know, a lot of professional money managers aren't very good, let alone mom and pop picking their own investments. And being at the mercy of the Wall Street sharks. Well, so this has created a crisis.
So with a lot of...
I'm on a one-man mission to fix that crisis. My book explains how to put yourself in a position to lower your taxes and how to put yourself in a position to be prepared for retirement.
With a lot of Americans being their own pension managers... A lot of them are not doing it. I guess over 20% of Americans have nothing saved for the future, Mark?
Nothing, not a penny. So which means they're going to get their Social Security check, and I'm a big believer in Social Security. You know, I don't look at it as entitlement because it's more of an investment. You put money in, you get money out. For some of us, it's a better investment than others, you know, and stuff like that. But that's all they have, and they have nothing else saved. Zero. And this is something where... The average person needs to understand that even saving a little money will help. But the problem that Americans have is just facing the truth, Dave. When I say facing the truth, quick little story. 2005, 2006, I'm publishing articles on how the housing market's going to crash. I'm going on radio shows. I'm doing lectures. I'm talking to people. And this was the general consensus of what I heard. Back in 2006, 2005, 2006, Dave, what I heard is, boy, Mark, what you're saying makes sense, but not my house. Maybe my neighbor's house is going to go down, or the guy down the block, or the other town's going to go down, but not my house. Same things are happening in retirement right now. They know there's a problem, but everyone thinks, not me, I'm fine. Well, you're not fine. You need to take control of your retirement. First step you need to do is figure out when you're going to be debt-free. And I know this scares the pants off both Americans to sit down and say, okay, based on my debt, based on how much I'm paying, what's my debt-free date? That is step number one. Whenever I talk to somebody, let's figure out your debt-free date, and then we can figure out when you're going to retire. Because debt is, as we know about investments, debt is a huge problem in this country. Dave, I don't know when it became acceptable to retire with so much debt. I have no idea. And you know what? Shame on the government for making people realize, you know, your house is an ATM. Your house isn't an ATM. You know, we talked a little bit before, and you said nobody had anything saved for retirement, and you're 100% right. But back in the day, you used to have your defined benefit pension plan and your house. And your house was paid off, and your house was worth a lot of money paid off. Well, nobody has the house paid off anymore. The amount of people in their 60s and 70s that are carrying debt on their house, do they realize every time they refinance it, they're just buying it back from themselves at a higher price? You know, I don't know. It's not acceptable. I don't know when the culture changed to think that debt was good. Some debt is good. Some debt is necessary. But if you want to retire, you need to reduce the debt, reduce the interest you're paying on your debt, and reduce the taxes you're paying in retirement, because those are the two biggest drags that I find, 30 years as an economist, the two biggest problems people are having is, hey, I'm paying taxes on every penny I touch in my 401k, and I'm still paying interest on this debt.
We're talking to Mark Grimaldi, author of Retire Smart, How to Plan for a Tax-Free Retirement. So you claim in your book that 401k is not a good option for retirement savings. What about the Roth 401k? That was approved by Congress a few years ago. What's the difference between a traditional 401k and a Roth?
A Roth 401k, Dave, is definitely a step in the right direction, but it's a tiny step, and it's one of 100 steps. We need to do much more. Because a Roth IRA, I like the fact that you pay the taxes on your Roth IRA going in, and you can pull it out tax-free. However, between both those days, there's a world of restrictions that the book talks about in terms of how long it has to be there, when you can touch it, when you can do this. And there's also limits on how much you can put into a Roth IRA or a Roth 401k. It's limited in terms of how much you make. It's just, if you saw the cover of my book, you'd see that basically on the left-hand side, I have all the restrictions to retirement, and on the right-hand side, none. None of these restrictions need to be there. Anyone can take any amount of their income and put it away for retirement in a tax-efficient way. I love it when these politicians say, well, thanks to me, you know, I just increased the amount of money people can save for their retirement. What are they talking about? Dave, you and I can put any amount of money we want for retirement. They make it sound like they did us a favor. They didn't do us a favor. Every time the government calls, you know you have a problem. A Roth 401k and IRA is definitely a step in the right direction, and right now they're working on a new proposal in Congress called the Secure Plan. The Secure Plan is, again, a step in the right direction, but you don't need the government in your retirement. I spend the whole chapter saying get the government out of your retirement, figure out how much you need to save, and just save it in a tax-efficient way. Put your money. Here's another example I want to give, Dave, if I could.
Sure.
You invest money in your 401k or any kind of pension plan. I'm not just picking up 401ks, a SEP, a SOSEP, anything like that. And you pick one of the investments in the plan, you know, one of the mutual funds, one of the 10 that they may have. That goes up in value, okay? And then you decide, I don't want that fund anymore, so you sell it. You basically made a capital gain. You bought it at X, you sold it at Y, that's a capital gain. Inside a 401k, that capital gain is taxed as income when it comes out to you. Outside of 401k, that's taxed as a capital gain. For 95% of Americans, that capital gain is zero. So you basically opened up a situation where you're going to have capital gains in your pension plan, and you converted those from extremely low taxes to earned income. Why in the world would anyone do that? Why hasn't anybody explained to the average person if you do that? That happens. So all those tax advantages are gone, completely gone. The other issue is how often you can touch your plan. You know, it's full of restrictions. Before 59.5, you have this penalty, that penalty, 70.5. The tax code for retirement plans is 100,000 pages. My book is 170 pages of simple, easy to understand, explaining three different tax codes that you just have to use in your favor, and most people use two every day. The secrets are hidden in plain sight. And Uncle Sam's not going to tell you, and, you know, Wall Street's not going to tell you. So let me, if I can, give you an idea of how powerful these tax plans are. The last time that we had a surplus in this country was in Bill Clinton's last year as president. The reason we had the surplus, and again, I'm neutral. I don't care who's in the White House. My job is to understand their agenda and pass it on to my shareholders. The reason we had this surplus is because of the sell-off that the stock market had in 1999 and 2000 and realized all these gains, which generated, you know, all these taxes. And as people pulled out of their 401k, it generated all these taxes. That was the secret to Bill Clinton's surplus. Last year, the stock market went down 20% in the fourth quarter. The only people who make money when the stock market goes down is Uncle Sam, and that's why it goes down every few years, because it realizes all these gains, and when people take it out of their 401k, it's taxed as income. But I don't want to get too complicated, because really, to do what I lay out in the book is extremely, extremely simple, Dave.
Our time begins to run out. We have only a minute or so left, but there's one other thing that I wanted to mention you recommend in your book is delaying Social Security for as long as you can. Why do that, Mark?
Well, because the sooner you take it, the bigger the discount is. But I always like joke with my readers, you know, they only have to answer one question, and I'll tell them when to take Social Security. Just tell me the day you're going to pass away. And if that way, I'll be able to calculate the exact right time to take Social Security. And I say it tongue-in-cheek because we don't know. But if you can delay it, it's always better to. But who am I to sit here and say, it's very hard for somebody to say no to money. I mean, if all you have to do is check a box and get a check in the mail. But that discount that you have to pay is a permanent discount that you have to live with your whole life. But some people need to have that discount. But you can delay Social Security, and the more you delay it, the bigger the check will be. And a lot of people don't realize that you can, at any point, once you turn 62, any month after that you can collect. A lot of people think it has to be on your birthday, 62, 63, 64. At any month after that, you can decide to start collecting.
Mark Grimaldi, our guest. He's the author of Retire Smart, How to Plan for a Tax-Free Retirement, just published this fall. Mark, good to talk to you. Thanks for being with us for a few minutes here today.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate your time.
Sure. So long now.
Tobacco for Less is Western PA's largest glass emporium, and they now have a store in Butler at Pullman Square Plaza. What makes Tobacco for Less different from other stores? For starters, they have so many glass pipes to choose from. They also feature a walk-in humidor and a vape juice bar. And of course, they carry a variety of standard tobacco products too. The Tobacco for Less Health and Wellness Department stocks a large selection of high-quality CBD products. For all your smoking and vaping needs, check out Tobacco for Less with locations in Butler, Sharon, and Aliquippa.
Friends, we're going to be talking about an upcoming event this weekend that sounds like it's going to be quite wonderful. We have guests here to tell us all about it. First of all, let's say hello to Diana Hall.
Hey, hi.
A longtime member of St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran Church here in town. Diana, good to see you.
Nice to see you, and thanks for having us.
I'm happy that you made it into the studio without being drowned today, because it is really raining out there. Well, actually, I guess Ralph Christie Jr. is also here. You say it's tapering off a little bit now, huh?
It did when I was coming in, yes.
It's not the end. It's going to be back. Okay. Going to be back again tonight and overnight and tomorrow. And also joining us, not here in the studio, but by telephone, is Colin Geiser, a founder and singer in the group The Geisers. Colin, nice to have you here as well.
It's good to be with you today, Dave.
So, Ralph, tell us what's coming up this Sunday at St. Mark's.
Well, I think we're going to plan to have a gospel service type thing, a lot of gospel songs. This could be a first for St. Mark's with gospel music. I'm not sure about that. But we're calling it some gospel songs served with Sundays. So, of course, we have to have some food after the concert, which will last about an hour to hour and 15 minutes. And then we're being serving Sundays then afterwards.
Mm-hmm. This is part, Diana, this is part of a series of concerts and musical events at St. Mark's, right?
Yes. It started originally with our 200th anniversary at the church. And we decided to do something every month and have something for the community. And out of that, the Performing Arts Service series started, and recently it has changed its name to the Rejoicing Arts at St. Mark's.
Well, that's kind of nice, the Rejoicing Arts at St. Mark's.
Works well.
And this is several years ago that this series started, right, Ron?
Well, I would say maybe 4 to 5 years by now.
It was back, the 200th anniversary was in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And in the year after that is when.
So it's 5 years.
Yes.
5 years. Well, among those who are going to be performing are the Geisers. And that's why Colin has joined with us. Colin, tell us a little bit about your group. First of all, the Geisers. How long have you been together and been singing?
Well, my sister and I have been singing together since between the late 70s and early 80s. Then my daughter joined us in the late 90s. And we've been singing together for probably the last, 15 years as a father-daughter-sister combo.
And do you specialize in Southern gospel, or do you do other genres as well?
Well, we do a lot of Southern gospel, but we do some of the contemporary music as well. So we like to give our audiences a variety of types of different music.
Mm-hmm. So it won't be just Southern gospel, although there will be some of that on Sunday, right?
Correct, yep.
There will be a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. Can you give us a couple of names of songs that you're going to be doing, Cola?
Well, one is we picked up an old song from 1929. It's called Standing by the Bedside of a Neighbor. And it's kind of a unique song because it talks about asking this neighbor who's on their deathbed to take a message to the other side, to heaven. Hmm. So it's kind of unique, and we like that one. And there's quite a few other ones there we do from the Tally Trio and from other groups, too.
I know a few Southern gospel songs, not too many. I've certainly not heard of that one before. Have you, Ralph?
No, I have not. No.
Yeah. Southern gospel is, that's really something new, isn't it, for your Rejoicing in the Arts series at St. Mark's, Diana?
Yes, it is. It's aing, and we have decided to expand and so forth and to go into different areas other than just classical music.
Well, it's very popular. You see it on TV a lot these days. Yeah, you know. What else, in addition to the Geysers? Will there be other people performing, Ralph Christie?
We do. We have a second group coming also. They're called One in the Spirit, and that's a family unit, too. And, Colm, can you tell us who's in that group then?
Vaughn McCommons and his wife Linda formed that group when they got married. Now they've had daughters come along who have joined the group through the years. And the family group has been together between 15 and 20 years now. And it's, like I say, it's a father and a mother and two daughters that sing together.
I know Vaughn. He's a talented guy.
He is, yes.
I have not heard the group One in Spirit. This all takes place this coming Sunday in an event that's entitled Some Gospel Songs Served with Sundays. And that's like the ice cream sundaes, right?
The ice cream sundaes served on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm. So there'll be an ice cream reception following the concert?
There will be, yeah. We will be in the sanctuary for the concert, and then we'll go to Fellowship Hall for the sundaes. Mm-hmm. Some fellowship time.
Is there an admission charge, Ralph, for the concert on Sunday?
No. There will be a free will offering, and that will be going to the group to help defray some of their cost.
Mm-hmm. Colin Geyser visiting with us by telephone today. Have you had a lifelong interest in singing and in music, Colin?
I have, yes. At an early age, probably in the elementary years, my dad used to bring gospel quartets to the Carnes City High School, and they were pretty well attended at that time. And then in the 60s and 70s, we moved them down to the Carnes City United Methodist Church. But I have always had an interest in gospel music, and through the years have kind of morphed into a little bit of the contemporary, but I still enjoy doing both of them.
It's important, if you're going to be involved in music early on, to come from a musical family, I think. I know I had a classmate of mine when I was in junior high school, extremely talented young lady, and she was singing on stage when she was 4 and 5 years old. With some older sisters and their mother, that's just what they did.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was part of growing up. Yeah. Colin Geyser, you're from the Carnes City area, are you not, Colin, originally?
I am born and raised in the Keppel Corners area. I went to Carnes City High School, graduated in 1970. I guess I'm giving my age away there, aren't I? But that's okay. I have enjoyed doing gospel music for 50 or 60 years now, so it's something that's in my blood.
Now, when the Geysers perform, your group, do you have instrumentalists accompanying you, or do you sing to an organ or a piano or a soundtrack? How do you do that?
Most of the time it's to a soundtrack. Now, if we have a congregation that would like to do some congregational songs, I will take my keyboard along and play, and we'll have them join in and sing with us as well.
Ralph Christie, Jr. is the music director at St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran Church. where this concert will take place. You're also the director of the Sanctuary Choir there, Ralph.
I am, yes.
For several years now, I believe, right?
Oh, it's probably been like maybe 12 at this point in time.
Hmm. I'm very fortunate.
Oh, thank you.
Some gospel songs served with Sundays. It's coming Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. St. Mark's, by the way, if you've never been there, it's in downtown Butler. It's at the corner of Jefferson and Washington Streets. That's just one block off Main. And it's a beautiful church, too, by the way.
It is very, very nice, yes. Mm-hmm. The people are very friendly. It's a great church to be a part of.
You mentioned, Diana, that this performing arts series was started right after the 200, did you say the 200th anniversary of this congregation?
Yes.
We're talking a long ways back, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, 1813.
Wow. So, I mean, that was in the early days of this country, for goodness sakes. Now, surely they didn't have the present church building back in 1813.
No.
Do you know where it was originally, the first church? Anybody know?
It was, well, if I'm saying right, it was originally not where it is now. It was in a small building up near the courthouse area.
Mm-hmm.
So that was basically before my time, so I don't know a whole lot about it.
I think this is the third sanctuary for the church.
Mm-hmm.
And actually one of the sanctuaries I've been told was where the current post office was. And it was an opera house.
Wow.
And it burned down.
Hmm.
That's all I know about that story.
I've seen pictures of that section of Butler before. It was urban redevelopment. It tore down several buildings there and where we now have the post office. Colin, have you performed at this church before, St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran?
I have, but it's been several years ago, probably like 40 years ago. I used to sing a little bit there with the choir, but not in recent years.
It's a nice space. You have a nice organ there, too, by the way.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Just refurbished within the last 10 years.
Pipe organ?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Numerous pipes, over 2,000 pipes.
How many members of the Geysers, Colin Geyser, how many people in your group?
There are three of us, my sister Kim and my daughter Megan. She is now Megan Seraphine, but we still consider her a Geyser.
Who sings the melody? Do you get to choose that?
Well, we kind of split that up, and whenever you're not singing melody, you're doing one of the other two parts of harmony along with the melody. So,
you have you and then two women. So how do you split the parts that way? I mean, soprano, alto, and tenor?
We just kind of let the person who's singing the lead take their part, and then the other two people find their parts and fill in. Now, sometimes it's kind of a little hectic because sometimes my daughter likes to sing the same part that I do, but then if she does, I just find another part. So we've been blessed that way as a family to be able to do that.
Oh, see, that's talent, to be able to find another part. Diana's shaking her head here. It's difficult enough for me sometimes when I've got the harmony part written there right in front of me.
Right,
but to just find it, that's pretty amazing, that's for sure. Well, Colin, we look forward to hearing you on Sunday, and we thank you for taking a few minutes to join us by telephone. I know your schedule's a little tight today, but it's nice that we were able to chat with you.
I appreciate you having me, and I'm looking forward to being there on Sunday.
All right. Nice to talk with you.
Good to talk with you, too.
I'll let Colin go there. I haven't talked with him in a long time.
It's been a while, yes.
A nice guy. Yes. I actually saw him perform several years ago. That's probably 10 years ago now. But he said his group has been together for a long, long time.
Yeah. He also was with us for a while. Probably for 15 to 18 years when I was doing the Life of Jesus production, Colin was always the adult Jesus that we had in our shows.
Now, was this with the Sing Hosanna group?
Correct, yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and talk more with Ralph and with Diana here on It's Your Turn on WISR, the soggy, chilly Wednesday edition. We will be back right after these words.
Compassionate Certification Centers makes getting your medical marijuana card so easy. With 10 convenient locations, you're closer to getting your medical marijuana card than you think. Log on to cccregister.com for your appointment at either Butler, Carlisle, Clarion, Erie, downtown Pittsburgh, Kachanning, Natrona, the North Hills, or Washington. Call Compassionate Certification Center today to find out if you qualify at 888-316-9085. You can even send in your medical records for a free review before booking an appointment. That's 888-316-9085 or cccregister.org.
I can't remember the last time I went to the dentist. Now I'm too embarrassed to go because my teeth are in such bad condition.
Unfortunately, this person is not alone. Many folks put off going to the dentist because they fear being scolded for neglecting their teeth. This is Dr. Bob Todd with a special message. Dentistry today is faster, easier, and better than ever before. At our dental office, we don't believe in making you feel guilty, no matter how long it has been since you've seen a dentist. We know fear and embarrassment can cause a cycle of procrastination. If it has been years since you've been to the dentist, call us today. We will help put your mind at ease and bring your smile back to health.
If you hate going to the dentist but know you have a dental problem, help is only a phone call away. Dr. Bob Todd and his friendly dental team will answer all your questions and care for all your concerns. For complimentary information or to schedule an appointment at their Butler office on Evan City Road, please call 282-7774 or on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Welcome back, friends. Nice to have you with us on the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn. Our guests visiting with us here in the studio, Diana Hall, a longtime member of St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran Church here in Butler, and Ralph Christie Jr., who's the music director at St. Mark's. They're here to share with us information on a concert that's coming up this Sunday afternoon, some gospel songs served with sundaes, ice cream sundaes, at St. Mark's Lutheran. You mentioned, Diana, that when you started the Rejoicing Arts series at St. Mark's, you had some classical stuff, right? Some classical music?
Yes, it was basically organ and classical music and that particular type. And like you said, we're very blessed at St. Mark's to have a lot of talent with both Ralph and Regina and Rebecca, and have been very fortunate to actually open us up so that we can open up more talents that the Lord's have given different people and for the communities.
And there was, I seem to recall, you had a nationally known organist, right, come in for a concert? Am I remember that correctly?
Oh, yes. He was from a Butler.
George Paco came in from New York.
Mark Paco.
Or Mark. Mark I'm Paco, sorry.
Yeah. Wasn't there Mark Paco. I know Mark. But wasn't there a woman from Duquesne or somewhere?
Oh, yeah. She came for the dedication of the organ.
Ah, that's what it was.
She was in charge of the organ department at Duquesne, and was also, that was when Karen Karninsky was our organist, and Karen studied under her. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I had not heard of her, but it was amazing. And in fact, she was here. We interviewed her.
Correct.
That's a few years ago now. But it was amazing. It wasn't that long after that I saw her on the TV news.
cool.
In Pittsburgh, they did a feature on this well-known organist at Duquesne University. And I said, wow.
Oh, she's wonderful.
She was just at St. Mark's
not
all that long ago. So you've had some classical works.
We've had some handbell players. There was a group that came from Pittsburgh that they were marching down the aisle and had Steeler hats on with their presentation.
Now, that would be different, Diane.
That's right.
That would wake up the echoes of St. Mark's.
Sure would.
We had a handbell player by herself who played handbells, and she was, I think, legally blind. I can't think of her name. She was from Grove City. Did a wonderful job. And then we've had Circle Friends come in several times with their concert. And actually, that's our next concert, which will be the first Sunday in December. We'll have Circle Friends there for an evening performance. So they're not to be missed. They are really, really very good.
Yes, they're outstanding. And they've performed around here over the past few years, a few times.
I think they're from the Evan City area.
Mm-hmm. It's a group. Do you plan well in advance, or is it whenever particular groups become available that you're able to schedule a concert?
Well, at the committee meeting, we talk about different groups, and then we try to fit it into the schedule. We always try to have at least an organ concert once a year because the organ is such a magnificent instrument. Now, this year we are not, so we're hoping to have a concert next year. And what went over really quite well was to have local organists play in a concert with a theme. I think the last thing we did was, it was around Reformation Sunday, so of course it was a tribute to Luther and the Bach.
So that was last year, right?
It could have been, yes. Yeah. It was last year, yes. Yes.
Last year.
500th anniversary, I believe,
that's
right?
That's correct, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Something else I was going to ask you. Oh, what's the trend at St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran these days in terms of music? I've talked with representatives of a number of churches who say that so-called praise bands are becoming more and more popular and being heard more and more frequently. Does that happen at St. Mark's, or is it more of a traditional work there?
Well, what's interesting about that was they did have a kids' praise band probably back in the 70s, wasn't it? Back around the 70s.
You were on the cutting edge, and it was back in the 70s.
We were. So at St. Mark's, we have been used to the high liturgy, and that's what was, that's our, been our tradition. But we've introduced different styles of music. We do some contemporary things. We do some gospel things. We do so the request has been from the council to do some more uplifting, fast kind of music versus the more traditional, classical things.
And so, right now we're in transition because we have an interim pastor until we end up getting the new pastor that's being called. So things will be changing due to that when at this point. So I look for changes because more of the young people are taking over for us old timers that need to allow them to take over.
You're a longtime pastor, recently retired, right?
Yes, yes, yes. Pastor Toberman retired and so forth. And Pastor Neil has been here for about 7 months now.
Mm-hmm. So. Is that how it works in the Lutheran tradition? You get an interim pastor if need be before you can get a new permanent one?
We have been blessed to get an interim. Sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. We have been blessed to have one. And he came out of retirement so that we would have a pastor with that. And we're in the call process right now and with that. So.
Where's Pastor Toberman? Did he retire in this area, or is he?
Yes, he retired
else?
In this area with it, and still living in this area.
Nice guy. I've talked to him a few
yes,
times.
Very nice. Yeah. And our new pastor, he's changed some things around to make it more exciting for everybody. And I think that's all I'll say about that. So if you want new exciting things, come and worship with us, and you don't know what you might find.
What do you? I can't ask Diana. She probably is not at liberty to say this, but I'm kind of a traditionalist. I find nothing wrong with the old hymns, some of them that go back, well, actually hundreds of years.
Yeah,
Martin Luther himself wrote some pretty good ones.
Yes, yeah.
And Charles Wesley wrote some good ones. Many of the other founding members of those denominations wrote good hymns that are still sung, and I think still sound pretty good every once in a while. And I'm a big fan of classical, too.
Right. I think a mixture of everything is really the right way to go. Mm-hmm. You know, we're trying to appease everybody that's there, plus try to get to the young people. And actually what's interesting about those hymns, nowadays the composers, the arrangers are taking those hymns and putting a twist on it to make it more uplively, more... Mm-hmm. We are doing one for Reformation Sunday, which the first part of it is My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. And then the second half, he goes into a rhythm pattern that the basses come in, and then all of a sudden the tenors will come in, and it keeps building and building. And it makes it a very modern type song. So it's really a cool song.
You can do that with the older hymns.
Mm-hmm. You can,
and one thing that drives me nuts is when you go to a church and they play some of those great old hymns, but they just drag them out like a funeral dirge.
Right, yeah.
No wonder young people don't like them.
Yeah, that's probably true.
You're wondering if it's going to end by Monday morning.
That's probably true, too.
What about over the holidays? Now, in my choir, we tend to do maybe one or two more familiar Christmas carols. We're already practicing. That's why this is on my mind. But our choir director always likes to introduce three or four contemporary tunes, Christmas tunes by John Rutter and some other people like that. They're difficult to learn. Ralph is shaking his head.
Oh, Rutter is
anything
very
by John Rutter
yes,
is difficult
that's true.
To learn.
That is true. Yeah.
Do you do that in your church, in your choir?
Well, it's kind of unique at St. Mark's, but I think it's because it's the Lutheran tradition. We really don't sing Christmas carols until Christmas Eve.
Ah.
So it's all Advent songs through the Advent season.
Same with our church.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there are some nice Advent songs,
oh, yes,
too.
Yes, there are. Yeah. Yes. Not as familiar.
Yeah. Well, Advent is... It lasts for 4 weeks, but by that time, everybody's looking forward to Christmas.
That is correct, yeah.
I assume your choir is rehearsing those already.
Not yet, no. We've got to get through all these high festival days, Reformation, All Saints, there's another one, All Christ the King Festival.
Yeah, that's all coming up pretty quickly, boy.
Yes, it is.
Once you get to the end of October, you know, you've got... All Saints, All Souls, you've got Veterans Day, you've got Christ the King in many Christian traditions.
Yep, All
kind
Saints
of a wrap-up to the year.
Correct, yeah.
Before, I don't know, in my tradition, Advent starts the new year.
Correct.
Is that the case in Lutheran as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lutheran tradition.
Plus, St. Mark's always sings out at the VA hospital on two Sundays. So, of course, we're in the slot time of Reformation Sunday, so, of course, we have to do the national hymn of the Lutherans, A Mighty Fortress is Our God, mm-hmm. So that'll start this coming Sunday.
Yeah. You sing in the choir, Diana?
No, I don't sing in the choir. I'm too busy in too many other places.
Maybe she can convince you. Listen, I have to stop for one quick message. We'll be back to wrap up our program for today right after these words.
Leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way. Getting there starts here. Just hop the bus. Easy and economical. Just hop the bus. No car, no problem. The bus will get you there. 'Cause that's what we do.
Hop the bus.
Leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way.
Have you heard about Pennsylvania eWIC? eWIC is a quick, easy, and convenient way for families on WIC to use their benefits at the grocery store. Your eWIC card will save you time at the checkout. No more paper checks. You can buy your WIC foods in as many shopping trips as you need. Don't miss out. Call 800-WIC-WINS. That's 800-942-9467. Or get started online at pawic.com.
This institution is an equal opportunity provider, paid for with Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars.
We filmed 15 Pennsylvania kids who were all waiting to be adopted and asked what having a family and permanent home would mean to them.
I want a family just to accept me for who I am, to be there just to support me whenever I'm needing it.
To be matched with a family would be amazing. I want to be in a system all the time.
Visit AdoptPAKids.org to watch the video, meet the kids, and learn how you can become a foster or adoptive parent.
Paid for with Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars.
Well, in case there are people who joined us midstream here on this segment of It's Your Turn, let's review the particulars of the concert coming up this Sunday at St. Mark's. Ralph Christie Jr., what time, and so on and so forth.
Okay, we're doing a gospel concert, some gospel songs served with Sundays. This coming Sunday, October the 20th, it starts at 3 o'clock. It'll probably go about an hour to an hour and 15 minutes. It's at St. Mark's Church on Jefferson Street. If you want some more information, you could telephone the church, 724-287-6741. And we're featuring two different groups, the Geysers, who are from the Butler area, and one In Spirit, who are also from the area. So we'll be hearing or possibly joining in singing some Southern gospel, some contemporary, some worship and praise music. We may be tapping our toes and clapping and having a great time. And then it's followed with an ice cream sundae in the fellowship hall.
Sounds good to me. Diana, what do you think?
I think it's great. And the fact of it is I love the ice cream.
And the music, too.
And the music.
Diana Hall and Ralph Christie Jr. with us. And we thank Colin Geiser, who was with us by telephone earlier. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you for having us.
Good to talk with you. Coming up on tomorrow's program, we're going to be talking about some activities with the Butler Rotarians. They have an event coming up. Also, a gathering of authors. Guests to tell us all about that tomorrow as well. Program note, Penguin Hockey tonight. The Pens are hosting Colorado. Mike Lang will call the live radio play-by-play here on WISR. Airtime 6:30 tonight. I'm Dave Mularkey. Hope you can join us tomorrow, 12:30, for the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Mularkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Mularkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.